T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is so good to be back after a couple of days off on a Monday morning. Start out this week. What a weekend. The trifecta. The Saints win. Tigers win. Green Wave wins. Big football weekend. And guess what? I think the Pelicans are starting this weekend with their play, and that's going to be interesting as well. We got a great show lined up for you today. In the last hour, we're going to be talking to Zach Street, voice of the New Orleans Saints, and we'll break down the Saints-Bucks game, and we'll talk about the Saints and the Jacksonville game a little bit as well. We close the chapter on 31-24 win. The Saints are 4-1. I know a lot of you were not betting on that, but we'll take it. In the second hour, Greg Rusevich joins us. He's a business and civic leader, very involved in the Crime Coalition Citizen Satisfaction Survey of NOPD. The results are out, so we'll talk to him about what that reveals as to what you are actually thinking about the quality of the job being done by your first line protectors of an ordered and structured society, that being the NOPD. This hour, Mark Lewis, Managing Director of Simmons & White Business Coaching and Consulting Firm, and author of a great book, I read it over the weekend, Give a Damn. Have we lost the art of being kind and respectful and changing our attitudes? Can we make a positive impact on each other and our communities? Give a Damn is certainly a movement, and what's unusual about this particular release of the book, it also comes with a challenge. A challenge to members of Congress, an accountability challenge for them to give a damn, as well as an American accountability challenge as well, and whether or not you and I and others give a damn. Mark Lewis, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel. I appreciate being here.
Always good to have you. Great book, great read.
Thank you.
You know, when we think about giving a damn, And what motivated you to kind of entitle the book as such?
Well, I started this about 10 years ago, and if you told me 10 years ago I was going to write a book, I would have said, I don't think so. I'm not much of a writer. But I kept seeing things that were in the marketplace, not only in the business, but what I saw personally about all these people doing these unfathomable things, and I couldn't understand why that was the case. So I started taking a dictation equipment, and every time I saw something, I'd speak into it, and then I'd write it down. And I got so many of them, I got like 60 pages of it, that I said, well, I got to formulate this into a book. And so what I did is I created an outline on the first book and then started putting it all together. But I was fortunate enough, because I'm not a writer, that I had an intern come in, and she actually helped me get the first book started. And then I realized there was something that was missing. It took me about 6 years to write the first one, and then it took me months to write the second one, and it was completely different, but the premise is the same.
Now, you come from the technology sector.
Yep.
And you've spent a lot of time in that regard. You talk a lot about that in the book, about some of the successes and the failures of leaders in the technology world and others. But at one point in the book, you say, in large part, technology is to blame for robbing us of skills like maintaining empathy in an emotionally charged situation. We need to spend more time interacting with people in all sorts of situations and less time watching screens.
Right. And I think if you look at technology, it's been a great technology has been great in terms of improving productivity with people. What's been terrible, it's eliminated or reduced the actual face-to-face interaction with people. And so we text, we send emails, We don't people don't send thank you letters in the mail. So a lot of that communication, both nonverbal and actually what you hear from somebody and how they say it, is reduced because now we look at things and we hear those things in a different manner. So when you take out that face-to-face interaction, you don't have as much empathy. And these emojis that they have, it just reduced the face-to-face. And I think that's the biggest problem that technology has. And the other thing is, with technology, we have now become providers of information. Instead of we used to receive it from media, now we can actually provide that information. A lot of the times it's not right.
So we've spent a lot in the sheriff's office when I was sheriff talking about emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. and obviously that is a learned behavior, the ability to control one's own emotions right. and the emotions of others. A lot of that you kind of talk around in this book, not specifically talk to it, but let's start here. It says, giving a damn is not a superficial change.
Yeah, I think what people need to realize is we become so self-centered and defensive that when we hear a comment, instead of viewing the comment as something that might have some validity to it, we automatically put ourselves on the defensive. And so we don't open up our mind because we're looking at comments that are said to us as being against us instead of saying, okay, well, there might be some value here. Let me open my mind. Everything seems to be closed, and we get really defensive about it. And that's what I'm trying to say. Open your mind. See what's available without trying to create an argument going back and forth.
You also say along those lines, what you do wrong, lie, cheat, steal, will always come out sooner or later.
And it does when you think about it. And any time, and it could be a day, it could be a week, it could be a month, it could be several years. But there is situations where you will always, and it's pretty prevalent, you know it, it's always going to come out. So when you do the right thing, you don't have anything to worry about. But a lot of people do the wrong thing and then justify it in their mind as being right. And therefore, they would go ahead and forth and go and do it, which we know at the end, a lot of times it's wrong.
Right. And when it reveals itself, in many cases, they never make the admission.
No.
It's funny, the other day I was going back and forth with a caller, and it's a caller that calls in all the time, and I've never known him to mislead. So it caused me to reflect on my position that I was saying, and so I went back and I fact-checked myself.
Right.
I was wrong.
That. I remember that.
And
when
I admitted it immediately. And people were very surprised by that. And it's like, well, I'm not perfect. I'm wrong. And when I'm wrong, I'm going to admit I'm wrong.
So when people say they're very surprised by it, it's because it rarely happens. And when do you think like a politician would admit that they're wrong? It's very rare. But when it's done, I think people have compassion and sympathy. We all make mistakes. And the ability to say that I'm sorry or that I made a mistake and I'm going to fix it is very rare these days because they're always trying to justify what they did as being right, even though when it's wrong, just say, you know, I made a mistake, I'm going to fix it, and I'm going to do it right, and we're going to move on.
Yeah, I mean, look.
It's not that hard, but people
I think
don't
it's kind of
it.
Self-healing, actually. It felt good to me.
Right. Well, not only feels good to you, but, you know, I think it's a sense of, like, going to the person and saying, you know, I apologize, I'm sorry. The other person's going to feel like that's really commendable for you to do that because it's rarely rare. And when someone says they're sorry, I almost have compassion. It's okay. I forgive you. We can move on.
You spend some time in the book talking about how society has transitioned into this me-centered culture. And I guess that's what indirectly
right.
we've just been talking about. How do we and I agree. I say all the time, people, you know, it's kind of like, well, if it's good for me, it's got to be good for everybody else.
Well, and that's a self-centered thinking process.
And you, those dots don't...
They don't line up.
No.
No. So a lot of times, you know, when you think about when people do something good, they do it with the idea that they're going to get something in return, the expectation. So I'm going to do something with the idea that I get it in return. You shouldn't think that way. You should think about, I'm going to do something, it's good for them, and I'm going to move on. If I don't get anything in return, I'm okay because now I've helped somebody, I feel good about it. And when you think about these things, when you do something for somebody, how does that make you feel? I feel terrific about it. The other person feels terrific about it, right? But never expect it in return. And that's the fallacy in the process of the thinking that I'm going to do something in expectation of return, and that's where the fallacy comes in.
And that is not the traditional give a damn mindset.
Correct. Yep.
And, you know, the give a damn mindset, not unlike other credible leadership skills, is kind of faith-based, Christian-centered in many respects. I mean, because when you think about one of the passages, you quote 1 Corinthians 10:24, nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others.
But, you know, what happens, Newell, is then when we do that, we're always going to get something in return.
Sure.
It may not be immediate, but the
fact that it might be direct.
It could not be direct, right. But at least you know you've helped somebody. And when you do those kind of things, it's a feel-good thing. We don't do enough of that. Now, there are a lot of situations where people do good things for people, but we never hear about it. We always hear the negativity and the bad and people complaining. We need to hear more of that so people get this feeling that, hey, this is a good thing to do.
And is that the way to turn this culture around, or this me-centered culture, is to look yourself in the mirror critically each and every day?
Well, I wear this wristband, right? Because a lot of times we forget.
And I'm wearing
it's called
it now
give
too.
A damn, right.
You just gave me one, and
I'm
going
to
wear
it. And it's hard because you have to be continually reminded of what I need to do. And when you have that reminder, and change is tough, but over time, there's studies that show that if you do these kind of things, you volunteer, you do these good things, you actually live a longer life. It's in the book. Ohio State did a study when it comes to religion. You know, religion seems to be taboo these days. We can't practice religion. The biggest problem with religion today is this. If I do something religious, it's not directed at you. But people think that if I'm going to kneel down that I'm directing at you. That's not the way the case. Now, if I were to shove a Bible in your face, yeah, that would be taboo. But why can't we practice religion and not have people complain about it? So, and guess what? Ohio State did a study. When you practice religion, you actually live 4 years longer than people who don't have religious beliefs, which is who doesn't want to live longer, right?
Well, I guess the mind controls a lot of things, and if you're at peace in mind, your body is in peace as well.
And that contributes to a better life, a happier life. All this stuff comes together. Change is going to be tough because people don't like change. And my goal is to create this give a damn movement where everybody can rally around it, similar to what I did with the Louisiana Technology Council when we created this phrase, Louisiana Tech Capital of the South in 2002. Nobody thought that technology and Louisiana could go together. We made a pact that after 10 years, we actually improved from 49th out of 50 states to 32nd. Now, I didn't have a lot to do with it. All I wanted to do is create this image where people could believe that it could happen. And that's my goal, to do it across the country.
Absolutely. We'll be right back with Mark Lewis, Managing Director of Simmons & White Business Coaching and Consulting Firm, and the author of the Amazon bestseller, Give a Damn. Do you give a damn? I give a damn. I know he gives a damn. Maybe we all need to give a damn. We'll be right back. We're back. We're talking to Mark Lewis, author of the Amazon bestseller, Give a Damn, and also managing director of a company called Communique, coaching and consulting firm as well. Have you ever considered, when you're driving home after work, are you proud of your work today? That question is asked in the book, and wondering, you know, whether or not it's something that we do each and every day.
You know, and it's a good point because my question was, what have I done best that can make other people's lives better? And that could be giving great customer service, providing a valuable product or service. What have I done that can make a difference? Even with your own employees, how have I helped them in a way that could make their job easier? And that's the question you'd ask yourself.
One of the things that frustrated me as a manager, and hopefully as a leader, is people just involved in busy work, no independent thinking. You know, and I love a statement in the book. It says, every time you approach a task, look at it as if you are doing the job for yourself, a loved one, or your family.
So what you're doing now is internalizing something, and we internalize this in a way when it has to do with someone we're very close to. So family, best friend, doesn't matter. we have more of a concern and we give a damn about other people when we can internalize. Once we get outside our own domain or get outside where people that we don't know, how to asking that question is critical. Now, it can't always be to that level, but if you internalize something to the best of your ability, thinking it's your mom or somebody else, and can do that same work for somebody else, then you've transitioned to that give a damn attitude, because now you're going outside your domain name and then helping other people that way.
You spend some time in the book as well talking about leaders have people that want to follow them. And it's, I love the statement. General Colin Powell said something very, very similar. A reporter asked him one day, how do you know if you're an effective leader? And he goes, you know you're an effective leader if the people that follow you will lead you into the bowels of darkness, if for no other reason than curiosity.
That's a good point. Now, the reason why people follow leaders is because those leaders actually empower them to do the kind of things that they do best. Ineffective leaders will, in effect, would actually do the work for them or provide them some advice and then do the advice based on what they're thinking. If you can empower people, let them fail, help them learn, get to the next level, reward them for what they do, then you're a true leader.
And then some of the, I guess, you know, one of the frailties of managers versus leaders is that ego and status kind of get in the way, and there's a wide chasm between ineffective and effective, right?
Right. You know, in my role as a business person, I look at my role as I can take the garbage out just like anybody else.
Sure.
I can help anybody else. I don't have this ego. I just want people to help them learn, to do better. And if I can have an effective leadership or effective way to help promote their success in a way and let them know that, hey, I'm with you in all respects, and a good leader will always take responsibility for things that go wrong, but always will give recommendations, or they'll give praise for the people that do the things and they don't take the praise. It's always somebody else that does it.
You know, in life today, it seems as though we just accept things and we take things for granted all the time. There was a part of the book where you addressed and you talked about, and it was just very simple, and I think it was good and proper etiquette is a give a damn trait. And it kind of struck me when I read it, you know, saying yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. I address folks, you know, whether they're younger than me, older than me, if they're providing a service right for me, is yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, yeah, you know, no, ma'am. I guess it was something my parents kind of instilled in me, the simple things. When you shake a man's hand, you
sure
look him in the eye,
right,
and a good stern grip, right, you know, and all of those things, just about etiquette.
You touch on a couple things. One, please is a word that seems to be going out.
Say that again.
Please. Thank you for, you know, when you, you know, I walk through a door and open the door for somebody, they just walk through it and don't say thank you. And I'm going, really? I mean, why wouldn't they do that? You know, it's the attitude of gratitude, Newell. When you tell someone you appreciate what they've done, it makes them feel good that they're empowered, that they feel good about respecting people for what they do. The attitude of gratitude, I call it, the please, excuse me, thank you. We don't seem to have those morals or those types of etiquette like we did maybe 40, 50 years ago. They seem to be going out the window. Why? And I just don't think the kids are getting enough moral education at an early age. I know they teach it in school. I don't think they're getting it. And I think that's why you don't hear this yes, sir, yes, no, ma'am, or whatever it may be.
I remember my first day at Jesuit High School, civics class, Coach Tom Cobb was the basketball coach then, 1972, and one of the kids in the class answered him, yeah. And all of a sudden, just by the look on his face and the aura that he created within the room, It was like time stood still. And I'm not going to say what went on after that, but it was not pretty, but it was definitely a life-altering moment for me. And as much as my parents were on me about having proper etiquette, I remember my dad picking me up from school that day. How'd it go today, son? I said, Dad, I'm not sure I'm going to make it here.
Well, proper etiquette and respect. You're amazed sometimes what people say, especially the younger generation, to other people. Even my kids growing up, right? Sometimes they demonstrate that respect. And I don't know if they're getting it enough in the school system where how important it is. Because when you garner that respect and you provide that etiquette, people just want to be around you, right? It's like, who wants to be around a negative person when you want to be around a positive person?
Let's go to Randy out in Metairie on line one. What say you, Randy?
Hey, Newell.
How are you?
I'm 67. I was raised where my parents, if I didn't say it, they'd pull me on the side. Let's hear it. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you, sir. Please. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Please.
Yeah. You know, Randy, did you get the sense that your parents were always working on your moral compass?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They instilled in me just those simple words. When I was in college, I went to college up north, and I was invited to a young man's house for dinner, and I waited until Mama sat down before I sat down, and just simply used yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. And I was invited back to dinner, and their son wasn't.
That's a pretty good telltale.
One of the things, though, is back then, a lot of the parents lived at home. They worked from home, right? We got moral education. Now the parents are working full-time. And when kids come home, there's nobody there. And what they do is they go and play video games. They don't watch TV programs that used to teach us too, like Father's Knows Best and Captain Kangaroo. All those old TV programs that taught this. What do you see today? Naked and Afraid. Here come the Kardashians. All this. It's sensationalism, and that's what our kids are learning. And I think that's a problem.
Yeah, you want to talk about the me-centered culture. Watch some of those.
Exactly.
Randy, thank you so much for the call. There was another part you talk in the book. It was just talking about behaviors, and there's so many anecdotes in the book. And that's what I enjoyed about it, because you kind of made it like real life, of experiences that you have day in, day out. And you talk about service, positivity, courtesy, and honesty.
Boy, if we could all get and rally around those four words, and again, those four words all come down to give a damn, the ticket to cultural change. If you think about if every individual had had that, how much happier the society would be? It would be like amazing. And that is a culture change that's going to take a long time to fix. You know, I'm engaged to make this work. I want to take this nationally. I think over time, if we can make this transition, we're going to be a much better and happier society. And guess what? It starts at the top.
Oh, no, absolutely. And once again, biblical. In Matthew 7:12, you point out, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And if you just kind of say that to yourself every day, doesn't that put it completely in context?
It is absolutely true. You're absolutely right about that. What would you do to others? Would you have that same be done to you? And would you accept it?
Yeah.
A lot of times they wouldn't.
No.
Exactly.
But if that was just the pause,
right,
as you are tweeting or texting or whatever, you know, or if you just put that on the back of your phone.
If you pause and think, I always look at this. What's the upside in anything and everything I do? If there's no upside, then why do it? And that's the thing. The upside as it relates to your statement, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
What's the upside? And if you can't have an upside, then don't do it.
Yeah. Kind of a simple, I guess, that equation holds true in the new math taught today. It did in the old math, right?
Right, exactly.
You know,
it's the negativity that brings us down, and we got to get through that. You got to move on. I mean, those situations just kind of
Well, they all reveal themselves at some point in time. I mean, and you know, we start as he did on one path, and then all of a sudden it changed and everything else because I don't know that WWL has been promoting the Russian collusion thing or whatever. You also talk about gratitude and just being a practice that helps you feel good about who you are, what you have, and what you're actually doing.
So, you know, when people do things good for you, we don't practice that attitude of gratitude. We may say, just saying thank you is another way. But actually going out of your way and doing something that's a little bit out of the ordinary. And you say text messaging, you can send emails, which is nice. But have you ever thought and received, when's the last time you received a postcard that said, hey, thank you for what you did for me. It really made a difference in my life. Thank you very much. Or when do you get a letter in the mail? Stepping outside those boundaries, you know, in the book I talk about the Delta Airlines lady that actually put together a care package for this guy, for this son,
young boy
who was had to have surgery and heart issues. His birthday was coming up. She went out of her way to get a care package with Delta and all the things, and then she couldn't find one, so she bought one from a company a situation where they did a raffle. She bought the raffle so she could send it to him. That is going out of the way that show. And guess what? When you do those little things, they don't take a lot of time, but people remember them. You know, that's what sets you apart from other people. And everybody feels good about it.
When we come back, we'll talk about the Congressional Accountability Pledge.
That's a big
thing.
We'll
spend a little time there and whether or not there will be buy-in. We'll be right back. I guess, was that a tribute to my trip that I just got back from Jamaica? Yaman. Okay, we're here with Mark Lewis, author of the Amazon bestseller, Give a Damn. You put out a challenge to not only the American people, but Congress as well. And I'm just going to read this first paragraph of the Congressional Accountability Pledge, and I'll let you take it from there. As a member of Congress, I pledge to serve and be accountable to the American people by providing a deep commitment to putting the needs of others first and improving interpersonal relationships that motivate and inspire positivity amongst all members of Congress, regardless of party affiliation.
Yeah, do you think they're going to sign it?
Emphasis on regardless of party affiliation.
So, you know, it all starts at the top. And, you know, I give presentations to companies on the Give a Damn philosophy and the reason why culture needs to change within organizations. So I put this out there because we have become so polarized, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, that there's no cooperation between anybody in Congress. And someone asked me if I'm political or if I'm a Democrat or Republican. I said, well, look, I'll ask you the same question. And they don't tell me. I said, I know why you don't tell me, because you're going to put me in a box. As soon as I tell you I'm a Democrat or Republican, I can't think outside that party affiliation.
Right.
And if I do, the other people in the other party are going to ostracize me. They're going to crucify me. So you can't think outside the box. So I developed this Congressional Accountability Pledge. My goal was to go up to Washington, and I'm going to give everybody a copy of my book, 535 of them, to everybody in Congress, and also tell them that they need to sign this Congressional Accountability Pledge. And there's a couple other points. For the main purpose is because they need to be accountable to the American people. And I don't think they are, and they're just so polarized. And I'm having a hard time getting to see anybody out there. So I'm going to – my goal right now is really to get this in front of everybody, and hopefully they'll sign it. But at the same time, what I want to do is get people to assign the American Accountability Pledge. So if we can pledge as get a grassroots campaign and all Americans sign this American, we can go to Congress and say, look, we got a million people that have signed this. You need to buy into this. And by the way, when they sign up and they do pledge, they're going to be on my website. And I'm going to call them and say, here's the people that have signed and here's the people that haven't.
Yep, absolutely. You see this erosion of just, as I said before, just basic life principles that so many people attribute their success to in life on so many different fronts. In fact, you have a great quote here by Denzel Washington. It says, with so many things coming back in style, I can't wait until morals, respect, and intelligence become a trend again.
That is just a simple, and he's right. You know, it has, it's not a trend.
You just can't help but laugh when you read it because it's like, oh my God, yes.
It's true. You know, when you think about, and there's a quote on the Congressional Accountability Pledge that John Kennedy said, this is, let us not seek the Republican answer or the Democrat answer, but the right answer. Let us not seek to fix the blame for the past. Let us accept our own responsibility for the future. We should, everybody in Congress should buy into that. And I don't think they are. And they're not, because they're so polarized. Everything is critical, condemning, or complaining, and nothing gets done.
Yeah. You know, I say oftentimes that the entity's interest always outweighs the individual.
I've heard you say that. Yes.
And you always have to be the caretaker of the entity, both in private corporate world as well as in public office, and that good leaders have a succession plan.
Right.
Because you want to leave organization in the hands of those that are worthy, that can fulfill the give-a-damn attitude, the give-a-damn principles.
You know, you're right. And that succession plan carries from the top all the way to the bottom. But if you can put the morals and the responsibility—and when you think about the successful companies like Southwest Airlines, their mm-hmm. whole theme is love, right? And they have a great corporate culture. People want to work for them. They're happy. They do better overall. If you can take that kind of philosophy and bring it to the rest of America, that's where it's important.
All right. We'll be back with final thoughts from Mark Lewis, author of Give a Damn, the Amazon bestseller. We'll be right back.
So the best thing you can do is go to giveadamnbook.com, take the pledge, join the movement, or send me an email, buy the book at amazon.com, and you'll be good to go. Thanks, Newell.
Thank you so much for joining us today. That's Mark Lewis. Want to win a cool grant in the free cash giveaway contest? Now's your chance. The code word this hour is DUNK. Text D-U-N-K to 72881 at 72881. Listen for the next code word right before the top of the hour, every hour now through 4 p.m. Don't miss your chance to win $1,000 eight times a day in our Intercom National Cash Contest. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates do apply. And remember, please don't text and drive. And that's Give a Damn, the ticket to cultural change. Thank you, Mark. Really enjoyed it.
Enjoyed myself. All Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.